get ready to look at some passages dealing with remembrance and dealing with our Savior and the celebration of the Lord's table or the Eucharist, taking up from where we left off this morning. In order to do that, let's spend a few moments in prayer as we enter into the battle of going into Scripture and seeing things in Scripture. And so, in order to be able to be enlightened in reference to what's going on, it is going to be by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, preparing ourselves for battle. Let's pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that the exact right time in history you sent your Son. Completing his mission, he departed from planet Earth. But you did not leave us alone as orphans, but you have sent to us another advocate. That advocate, Heavenly Father, does so many things in our lives, in our soul. And one of those, Heavenly Father, is to bring us into remembrance of the Lamb called Jesus, whom we remember, Father, in the celebration of the Eucharist. Pray, Father, now that the Spirit will illuminate these things to us that we might see and understand. Fulfill, Heavenly Father, our purpose individually and corporately. To this end, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we left off this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with the phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me." And spent a long time this morning dealing with the remembrance of me, to remember Jesus Christ again and again. We left off exactly at the point in the study in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, where we saw that the remembering for the Passover, as you recall from the passage we read, is a remembering of sins. And the reason for that, I hope when we study these kind of passages, and this is the type of thing that would lead to discussion, if you ever feel like coming up and just talking about things, but What should have, if anything, pricked your soul at the reading and seeing of that, should have been why. Why was there a remembering of sins? And the reason being is, and it's given in that passage, is that the sins have not been paid for yet. That the sacrifice of animals does not redeem. And does not pay for sin. So they were remembering their sins until the Lamb of God. And when the Lamb of God came, then he would take the place of all members of the human race and bear the judgment. He is the person who solved the burden of the sin. Now we come tonight to the next question, why? Why do we have the exhortation in this passage to remember the Lamb called Jesus? Why do we have the exhortation, "Do this in remembrance of me," twice? And once in our verse, once in reference to the cup coming up in our study. But why do we remember Jesus Christ? The answer is very simple. He is gone. He is not here. You remember someone who's gone. You remember someone who is absent. He has departed. That's the whole environment. And I keep like to bring you back to the environment, because when we study verse by verse, sometimes you lose the whole context of something, and that's unfortunate. But here's an issue, that we remember him because he came and then left. He is no longer on planet Earth. He has completed his work and then he left. He left planet Earth. And therefore, we are not to forget the one who's gone, the one who left. And when he left, when Jesus Christ came in the form of man, the God-man, died on the cross, and then rose from the dead, and then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. So he departed from this whole area of planet Earth. When there, he sent to us, beginning the day of Pentecost, another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to become the center and the focus of these things, because it is the relationship with the Holy Spirit that is he is sent here to bring us into remembrance of Jesus Christ, who now is topside. There is an intimate relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is called, the Holy Spirit is called, the Spirit of Christ. And as we're going to see in our study in John 14, 15, and 16, one of the functions of God the Holy Spirit is to bring into remembrance the person of Jesus Christ and other things. For an example, transform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit. So we have a fellowship with God the Holy Spirit by a faith relationship related to God the Holy Spirit, directed toward God the Holy Spirit. That brings us into a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who then brings us into fellowship with the person of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. This is designed to bring us into fellowship with God the Father. And this is why on planet Earth you and I can have fellowship as per 1 John chapter 1, where a fellowship we can have with God the Father. This is why Jesus Christ came, was to bring us into a relationship with God the Father. So what we're doing in the celebration of the Lord's table, we are spending this time to come into a remembrance, all the things we studied this morning, which we're not going to go back over with, but all the things we're bringing us into remembrance wherever we are in church history of he who has come, completed while he was sent. Isaiah 48, for he, God the Father, has sent me, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit. So he said Jesus Christ, the first advocate, to come on planet Earth, fulfill the work of the cross, and then he departed. And because he departed, then leaving us alone, us being the church, believers, then Jesus Christ sent to us another helper, another advocate, that is the person of the Holy Spirit. So the whole design is based upon the fact that this one has departed. I want this to start setting into your mind, not only from our studies, John 13, 14, and 15, as we go through it, but also getting ready for the book of Revelation. What is important then about the book of Revelation? Because he, Jesus Christ, is not on earth. This is very important. What is going on in this whole spiritual warfare? That Jesus Christ is not present on planet earth. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Equal in a relationship. I am the Father and me. They are one and the same together. So, now our relationship on planet Earth is with the advocate that he has left with us. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. So, we have to understand the remembrance and why the remembrance that is brought into play. What I want to look at for a few moments then is, what are some of the things that when we are empowered with God the Holy Spirit in proper fellowship, Paul calls it fellowship, when we are in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, and we are in fellowship with the Spirit when we are walking by faith in him and walking in that faith relationship, what are some of the things? There's so many things that he does, and we're studying these and we'll continue to work on those, but what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does to us when we're walking in the Spirit? Now, next Sunday I want to take a look. What are some of the things that the Holy Spirit's doing inside of us, even when we're in sin? Because he's not just sitting there passively. He is active inside of the believer when we are in sin. He's inside of our soul and body, as we have seen. So we'll look at those. But there are a multitude of things, of course, that he is doing when we are walking with him in fellowship. And one of those things is to bring us into remembrance of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at, for a moment, some of the passages, and we'll stay with our writer. We won't go outside of our writer known this, being John, and because this is his momentum. As you recall, John is the only one who records the things that were discussed and talked about in the upper room, but he's the only one of the gospel writers who doesn't write about the communion service. John didn't even include it. And so we have speculated that it was near the beginning of chapter 13, so maybe chapter 14, maybe around verse 6 or 7, that Christ started instituting the Lord's table, and it deals with this whole idea of his departure. And remember what he said now. He said, in regard to his departure, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We're going to be together forever. He's starting to encourage them, and that's what the bread and the cup do. They have a cup of encouragement. And then he's dealing with, and I could just sense that it was in the same format of discussion, that he talks about Jesus Christ talking about remembering me. I want you to remember me. There are things I want you to remember about me. And he's talking to the whole church. He has departed. So we're going to remember some things about Jesus Christ. He's gone. Now the book of Revelation is going to be astronomical in its effect of Jesus Christ and planet Earth. Jesus Christ and God's creation. And the revelation of Jesus Christ. But right now, we're going to do some, take a look at what are some of the things that his spirit will remind us of. I want you to look back at John, the Gospel of John, with me a moment. Gospel of John. Stay with John for a while on this. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, as all of you know, the very first, in the beginning, was the Word, and it doesn't mean a beginning like somewhere along the way this began, but in the beginning of the events of the spiritual warfare was the Word, that is Christ, and the Word was God, that Jesus Christ is God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Now, so we have Jesus Christ in eternity past is God, and then he becomes man, and then he departs. Now we're going to do some remembering of him. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. People, this is powerful. I can't even begin to tell you how important that verse is in regard to our lives. The first thing said of Jesus Christ, as far as the whole history of man is concerned, the law is from Moses. And what does the law from Moses do? Here's Moses, and from the law commands do and do, do and do. That's what they see it meaning. And the law does not save. The law does not deliver. Now, where does grace? We have grace coming from. And grace comes from this person, Jesus Christ. So when we think of Jesus Christ, remembering of Jesus Christ, this is the whole basis of grace. I know people talk about the age of Israel being the age of the law and the church age being the age of grace, but yet in their actions and in their life, they have more grace in the age of the law than they see in the age of the church. It's just amazing. But the whole basis for 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John 2:2 is dealing with what we have right here, remembering this grace. There are so many churches without any kind of an acronym. I dare say 90-something% of the churches, some way or another, deal with the Christian life based on some type of law, something that man has to do, some standards that man has to live up to. It's so easy for the pastor to start creeping these things in, because it just seems so reasonable that if you are going to be a Christian, that you're going to have to do things for God. And that's the total violation of what the very person of Jesus Christ is about. And this has been the battle throughout all of the church age. How are we saved and how do we live? And Jesus Christ brought to us grace. So the first thing that we're going to remember out of chapter 1 in dealing with Jesus Christ, given to us in verse 17, through grace and truth, were realized through Jesus Christ. Remember that all the time. People, truth is Christ. The gospel is Christ. And I'm talking about the gospel for the unbeliever and the gospel for the believer. The truth is Christ. The holy scriptures that we have, and I know people are going to misunderstand what I'm saying, but it contains the words of Satan, it contains the words of man, which are wrong, and it contains the words of God. And the part of this book that is truth. And if we have time, I'd go through some very pertinent passages with you on this. Some night we will. But it's those words that deal with the person of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Right here is truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. It's setting something very important in 1 John chapter 2. And what is the truth? So many people today I want to know what the truth is. What is the truth? Well, and I was dealing with this in a simple context, because that's what 1 John 1, verse 6 and following is about. What is the truth? And by that they mean, did you do it? Are you guilty? That's all I want to know, because if you are, that's all I need to know in order to hang you. And I'm talking about Christians to Christians. The truth is sin in 1 John. That's what we're dealing with. Don't be afraid of the truth. The truth is that there is sin. But that's not the end. There is a pure truth, or if you please, a greater truth. And the greater truth is the truth of Jesus Christ, grace and truth. Here is the truth. You don't have to be afraid of it. That's what John is saying to those in his flock. Don't be afraid of the truth. The truth is your sin. We're not going to say, well, there's this about it and the circumstances about it and maybe. No, the truth is sin. But that's not the end. The truth is Christ. And people, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember when we're studying 1 John 2. I want you to remember when you go into darkness. I want you to remember when another Christian goes into darkness and sins and fails. What is the real truth? The real truth isn't, I want to get to the truth of the matter. Did you do it? Because if you did it, then I have grounds to shoot you. That kind of thing. Then I have grounds to separate. I have grounds to judge. I have grounds. No. Don't be afraid of the truth. That's why people are afraid of the truth of sin. Because we forget the greater truth. And when I say we forget, I mean in actions. The way we this sounds good theologically, but when you have to take this truth and apply it in your life and the people's lives, it becomes very difficult. And this is what the communion service is about. Remember me. Remember me. I'm grace and I'm truth. I want you to remember that all the time. And this becomes a very important flow to the whole epistle of 1 John. Because it's very important. Truth. But Jesus Christ is truth. What he did on the cross is truth. What we're getting ready to celebrate, that's truth. And you don't need to be afraid of it. You don't need to be afraid of the truth. Don't be afraid to acknowledge truth. Truth is sin. Yes. A sin. And stop denying it. Get to the greater truth, though. And this is the grace. It's been taken care of. Okay, that's the first thing out of this book that he will bring into our remembrance. Or into our remembrance. Look at verse 29. Verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming up to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He takes away the judgment, the guilt of sin. Remember him. Remember him. You don't stay in your sin. See the difference with the Passover? Passover that we saw this morning in Hebrews is a constant reminder of the sin. But look what this passage says. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For a moment you have to get into the mind of a Jew. For a moment you have to understand that I've been celebrating now for, at this time of Christ, approximately 600 years. 500 to 600 years Passover. I've always did it in remembering of sin. That bull, that lamb, and that sacrifice, and that burnt offering never took it away. It's always there. And now we come, there's the Lamb of God. The sins are no longer an issue. They're getting ready to be taken away. Here's the Lamb. He takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb is now identified. A Lamb called Jesus is who is now identified. Remember him. And this means remember what we saw about the Word now. Because that's very important. To remember means to remember in such a way that it makes an impact in your life, makes a difference in your life. Makes a difference, for an example, in just what we've seen in the verse 17 and now these verses. The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. This whole thing is related to this issue of sin right now. This is very important. It has to be taken care of. And it's taken care of. And we must live our lives in the reference that it has been taken care of by the Lamb called Jesus. He has taken away the sin of the world, the guilt of the sin of the world. Look with me at verse 36. Still in chapter 1. And he looked up upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." See, the servant. And the word to behold is going to be followed up by following him. Look at verse 43. The next day, he purposed to go forth into the Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." Follow him. This is what our life is supposed to do. Look at John 4:34. Okay, so he is grace. You want to remember these things. And I want to just encourage you one more time, maybe a few more before I'm through tonight. What does the word remember mean? It means to remember where it makes a difference in your life. It doesn't just mean to sit down and meditate for a few moments on something. But this is a remembering changes your life. When you come in contact with sin yourself or dealing with a believer in sin, whatever it may be, you bring to remembrance Jesus Christ, sin, Jesus Christ, grace. He took away the sins of the world. He is grace. He is first. All right, let's look at another one. Chapter 4, verse 34. Just picking out some things to remember about the Lamb called Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." See, my food is to accomplish his work, and we are to follow him. This is why I told you and tried to exhort to you, the Gospels are not a revelation of Jesus. They are a revelation of God the Father. What I'm learning about is God the Father in the book of the Gospels. When we come to the book of Revelation, after the resurrection, ascension, and glorification of the Son, now we're going to have a revelation of him. Because first he reveals to us the Father, and now the Father is going to reveal to us him. So this becomes the great issue in our lives. So in verse 34 then, his food is to accomplish the will of the Father, and we are to follow him. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 32. John 6, 32. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Okay. Several things to remember about Jesus Christ. The relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Their relationship with my Father. He is both God and he is man in one person. The second thing out of this one verse that we're looking at in regard to the person of Jesus Christ in verse 32, and gives life to the world. Okay. What I want to remember about Jesus Christ, he gives life. Now I want you to watch this. I want you to remember this. By taking care of the sin problem, he's now free to give life. Now that sets the pattern, people, for how you and I live each day of our lives remember me. Why did Jesus Christ say that? Because when I was an unbeliever, dead in sin, dead, spiritually dead in sin, Jesus Christ gave life. He is the life source. And I obtained that life source by faith. Now when we come over to the church age, the source of life, it goes back to the person of Christ. Now we study the passage where through the relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit, you and I are given life as a believer. Some night, some cold night, like the other night when there were just a few of us, I'm going to go through Lewis Berry Capers 34 things and show you how there is an experiential reality to everything that is there. I've often wondered, what is so important about the 34 things, you know, and a lot of us would memorize them and all of this, but they have no significance to your everyday life until you realize. Conversely, every one of those things that you and I, that happened at the cross, happen every time you and I are in the Spirit. At the cross, you and I were given eternal life. When you and I are walking by faith, we are given life. When we're walking in sin, we are dead. We're walking in faith, we are alive, spiritually alive in Christ. Look at verse 35 in chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So he is the life source in our lives. Look at John 7. John chapter 7. Verse 37. John 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So here is the drinking. Look at verse 38. He who believes in me, that is explaining now what he means by drinking, for drinking is used as a symbol of faith. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. As you'll note, that's referring to the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. So the relationship of life, the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit becomes very important. You and I are not going to remember him without the work of the Spirit. You and I are not going to have his life without the Holy Spirit pouring that life through us. Look at John 8. John 8, 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I'm the light. Now, first of all, he's the bread, and he's the thirst. He quenches the thirst. Now, in this passage, in 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So here he is, he's calling himself the light that will guide every day in our life. Not only is it the light of eternal redemption, it is the light of every day in our lives. Look at John 9:39. Look at John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, and those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. For judgment I come into the world. What he's saying, came in for those who are weak. People, you're never going to put on the armor of God until you realize, I can't. We live in such a John Wayne Christianity environment in the world of America. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for those who will say, I can't. I can't even love as you want me to love. I cannot live a sinless life. I cannot do anything. I am too weak. And therefore, when you realize you're weak, then you will put on the armor of God. This, when you and I realize how weak we are, what do we bring into remembrance? We bring into remembrance the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Look at John 10, verse 7. John 10, 7. Jesus said, therefore, to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the bread. I am the truth. I am grace. I am the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. I am the bread out of heaven. I am the thirst the drink that cures all thirst. I am the light. And now I am the door of the sheep. Look at John 11. verse 25. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. This is something else that he says. I am the resurrection. Here is our hope. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. The confidence of eternal life. He is the resurrection. And in John 13, 13:1, bring us into something other, memory of Jesus Christ. Now therefore the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world, there's the departure of Christ that we've been noting, to the Father, not just to heaven, not just to heaven. What makes heaven heaven is he's there. And he's there as the Father. We're going to go to heaven when we die. It doesn't matter. I don't care how wonderful in the streets of gold imagery. Doesn't mean a thing if Christ is not there. Doesn't mean a thing if God is not there. So I like the way Christ thinks here. And I changed my funerals ever since I studied this. He said that he should depart, go out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is what your relationship with Christ is. Jesus Christ loves. Jesus Christ loves. And he will love you to the end in his love, not a type of a conditional type of love. Look at John 18. Skip over to John 18. Something we're to remember. It's a nice thing to remember at Christmas time with all of the commercialization that we have in the world today. And I don't mean that in a simple way. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the lights. A lot of people get all, having the lights before Thanksgiving and all of the I like the commercialization. I like to see every time I see the word Christmas, because that means that every unbeliever has to see the word Christ. And that is all I need for the Holy Spirit to start doing some work that otherwise may not be there. So I'm one of those who enjoy it. I have no problem with those who they want to talk all about the commercialization of it. But we do get so involved in the gift. Let's take a look at John 18:36 now. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. People, we're in a spiritual kingdom. We're not in a material kingdom. We get so involved. We get so distracted. We go into sin. We go into failure. We stop trusting God related to the cosmic things, material things of matter. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, by the way, if you know delivered up to the Jews, a lot of people like to say, well, it wasn't the Jews that crucified him, it was the Romans. Bleh. No, it was the Jews who refused their own Messiah. All right, up to the Jews. But as it is written, my kingdom is not of this realm. So, remember me. What does remember me mean? What does it do for us experientially in our life, and the Holy Spirit does this? This isn't the realm that matters. Why am I becoming so depressed? Why am I becoming so happy? Why am I becoming so disoriented the way things go or don't go as far as this world is concerned? No, people, we're in another world. We're in a spiritual kingdom. That's his kingdom. And we come into a remembering of him with the celebration of the Eucharist. And with that celebration, we take time together, remember me. This isn't my kingdom. It's not here. You know him. I don't know if I call it him, just the gospel. I doubt anyone, including Wes, he's probably ever heard it. It's one of those times that they talk through it. And he talked about an old missionary who came back from the mission field. And there was a celebrity on the ship. This was a long time ago. And got off the ship. Boy, there was a band there and a lot of people for the celebrity. And there was not one person to meet this old missionary. And it hurt. It hurt. Nobody was there after all those years on the mission field. And he went into prayer. And as though in his prayer, he understood, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. And then there would be, who would be there to meet him when he went home? This isn't our home. We are just passing through. And so often Christians will allow themselves, I know Christians that will never be in the plan of God because they're distracted by the things of the world. And we evaluate our success by the cosmic standards. We rear our children by cosmic standards. We marry so often, not by spiritual, but by cosmic standards. We waste so much of our life fooling around in the cosmos, remember me. People, those aren't just words. If they don't have a spiritual impact on you, don't partake of the elements. This isn't a ritual. It's got to be a ritual with meaning. I'm remembering, this isn't where I live on earth. When you hold the bread and the cup, remember me. I live in a spiritual realm. That's why Paul, as you remember, during the week we looked at Colossians, we looked at Colossians. Why are you so involved in all of the traditions of man? Don't eat this, don't drink that, don't do this. Those don't even matter. We're in a spiritual realm. Now, you don't want to carry that, as we saw, like the Stoics. And we could put that in context. But what I'm trying to get across is that what we think, we remember him. If you remember him, you're going to remember, this isn't my kingdom. This material world isn't my kingdom. So we remember that his kingdom is in the spiritual realm. Look at chapter 19. Someone else will bring to remembrance. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Therefore, this inscription many of the Jews read, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in the Hebrew, Latin, and in the Greek. I read verse 20. I'm sorry. I knew that wasn't there. Verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." A lot of Christians don't believe that. A lot of people don't believe that. No, his work isn't enough just to be saved by faith only and faith alone. You've got to do something to add to it. Do this in remembrance of me, and it'll be a reminder to you in your daily life. You don't do anything but trust. The one that sent, God sent, does all. Okay? Let's look at chapter 20, verse 21. What will he remind us of? Chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Okay? Who am I? And what's my life about? I sent you. You want to remember Jesus Christ tonight? He sent you. We are commissioned by him to fulfill the greater work. To bring the Gentiles into his kingdom. So we are sent. This is what the reminder is. Verse 31 of chapter 20. Verse 31. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing you may have life in his name. He is life. And we'll note in John 21, verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, by the way, he was the chef and the one who served, just as he is at this communion service that we're in. The disciples came in from working, and the chef was Jesus Christ preparing the meal for them. So when he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my flock." And go through the whole discussion of dealing with Peter and loving him. His value of his life is not the sin of denying Christ. The value of his life is serving. Do this in remembrance of me. One more passage, and then we'll take the celebration. Verse 22. Coming off of verse 21, Peter... it's just amazing. Christ has just picked him up out of a pattern of sin, denial, which is the heart, by the way, of all sin. The heart of all sin is denying. And he has set a pattern of it three times. And Christ has taken him out of that, put him back into service immediately. Look at verse 21. He's still wrestling with the whole deal. Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? I think it's one of the most difficult things for Christians. We're always worried about somebody else. What about them? What are you going to do with them? Why are they blessed? Why are they doing this? Why are they getting to do that? And why is that going on? And, boy, they don't deserve that. I'm better than them. On and on and on. It is a basic handicap of Christians to be caught up and looking around at other Christians. Well, look what they're doing, and they're not in the truth, and, boy, they're just being blessed. That's what it looks like. What about that? Let's see what he says. Verse 22. And Jesus said to Peter, him, Peter, if I want him to remain until I come. Isn't that beautiful? He's standing there, he said, I want him to remain until I come. That presupposes I'm going to depart and then come back. And if I want him to remain until I come, that means that John would be, not quite, but close to 2,000 years old. That's how old John would be at this. And it could be. Could have happened. I don't think I'd want that. That would be demanding too much to have to have lived through all of the church age and all that's going on. I know what John knew, and to see what the church had done with Christ and with so many things. Jesus said, it's out of grace he takes us home. Jesus said to him, if I want John to remain until I come, what is that to you? What is it to you what I'm doing to anybody else? You follow me. And so sometimes that's the most difficult thing in the world. Just follow me. Because we get our eyes, well, look what they're doing, and look what he's doing, and look what she's doing, and look what this is, look at this, and why aren't I? And, well, maybe that's what I ought to do, or maybe that's what I ought not do. Da, 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 da. We're always looking. No, you follow me. You remember me. Remember me? Don't worry about anybody else. Don't be concerned what anybody else is doing. You remember me. This is so important in a military analogy. The soldier spends his time watching what the troop on the right or on the left is doing. One is going to get killed until he's not going to get his job done. My job is my space and the advancement on this hill. That's my job. This is mine right here. That line. And this guy's going to take care of his, and this guy's going to take care of his. This is my responsibility. You follow me. People, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ at the Bema seat, which is an evaluation of the life of the Christian, he's not going to ask you about the believer on the right or the believer on the left. He's not going to ask me about all the other preachers, what they were doing and what they weren't doing, what they were teaching, what they weren't teaching. He's not going to ask me those things. He's not going to ask you about any other believer. And you're not going, yeah, but wait a minute now, Lord. Now, wait a minute. You got it? No. It isn't going to be you. It's going to be you. What will you do? So many people, and I mean this in a large number, a large number of the body of Christ, they're really going to be in a shock because they're going to want to say, yeah, but Father, it was my husband. Yeah, but you see, Lord, it was that woman who gave me. You see, Lord, it was my parents. You see, Lord, it was if this person would have done that, then I would have been there. No, you're not going to get away with that. It's going to be you and the Lord. There's a corporal sense, corporate body of Christ in the local assembly, but we can't fulfill destiny in Christ. So, you're going to be evaluated in that regard. You and the Lord. Do this in remembrance of me, your own personal relationship with him. And that is going to cause you then, as we've seen, cause a change in your life. This isn't just a remembering of these things, how nice they are. These things should have an impact in your life daily, in your marriage, in your single life, in your work, in your social life, and in the assembly, the local church. And if they don't, then don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Oh, I'm remembering the Lord. And then go on about your way. No, you're not. Your faith is dead. Your claim is false. The truth is not in you. All those things that John and James said, say. So, do this remembrance of me. Means it should have an impact. To make a difference in your life. Each month when we celebrate. Get ready for the celebration of the Lord's Table. It's going to be a ritual that is given to us specifically as a rite for the church, ritual for the church. Here's the Lord's Table. And we studied now the bread. And starting maybe the first Sunday in January, probably not, but later the next one when we continue this series, then we'll get to the cup and what the cup, remembering the cup means. I've taken you these things to show you the remembrance of what death means on the cross means life. But then we'll take a look at the cup. The communion is for believers only. They're the only ones who really celebrate anything to remember because they have taken advantage of him. And as we go through this passage and we come through and toward the end of our of the section where we've been looking at the danger of partaking of the Lord's table out of the power of the Spirit. So dangerous. Because when you do that, you're making false claims. You're lying. When you partake of the cup and you partake of the bread and you're not in a faith fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're lying. Because it doesn't mean the things that it said. It can't in the flesh. It can only mean those things. In the illuminating power of God the Holy Spirit. So there's a very stern warning in regard to missing and partaking of this out of the power of the Spirit. Just doing it to get this out of the way. Doing this because I have to. So many Christians claim to be walking by faith and they don't even partake of the communion service. So I can say to James, no, your faith is dead. You're not walking in faith. You're not walking the spiritual life. Because this is one thing I know that will happen. You will celebrate the Eucharist. That's one thing that is going to happen. And so, but just being here, as we saw this morning in reading the first part of it, just being here doesn't mean you're doing it either. This has to be done in the power of the Spirit. So let's spend a moment in prayer, preparing ourselves for partaking of the bread and partaking of the cup and remembering these things that we've gone through, these verses and the things that we remember about Christ and the many other things that we didn't even bring up, your own personal relationship with Christ, bringing those things into memory. This is the old Lang Syne for each Christian, and we do it here once a month. Let's pray. What a privilege it'll be, Heavenly Father. When as John gives to us in his first epistle, we see him as he really is. Have a body like his. And to be with him forever, never to be separated again. Privilege it is, Father, to take these few moments to remember him. And by this, Heavenly Father, what a phenomenal God you are, because we come at this moment close to Christ, even closer than the disciples were that night, for they didn't even have the indwelling of the Spirit. That we are at this moment even closer than they were when they heard him, the disciples heard him utter these words, the first time. It ours is the privilege of remembering all of these things concerning the Lamb called Jesus. Not just that he is, but that he is for us, for me, and took our place in the cross and gave us life as resurrection. And our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of celebrating this together in this assembly. In Christ's name, amen. Each assembly has its own custom. Ours is that everyone holds the bread until all have been served, and then we'll celebrate by the eating of it together. Then he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Though we have not come to verse 25, we'll cover that in our next continuation of the series. Taking of the cup. The cup is different. The bread, there's a sorrow related to the bread, that he died and took my place and bore my sin. Death is a sorrow. A cup is a cup of encouragement. A cup is a cup that says, it's a cup of the new covenant. It's a cup that says, now it's time to stop mourning about my departure and get on to the new covenant task. It's a very wonderful thing what Christ did here, with the bread for comfort and the cup of the new covenant for encouragement, to fulfill our purpose, fulfill his mission that has now become ours. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served and we might celebrate together. The cup also at the supper saying, this cup is the new covenant. The bread is my body. The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Lord's Supper, for the host. How grateful we are, Father, for the things that it causes to bring to remembrance in our souls. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to remember these things each moment. The riches of glory that we have in Christ. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will sanctify the food that we're about to partake of and the fellowship with one another that we are about to enjoy because of the fellowship that we have with your Spirit and your Son. In whose precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's enjoy some fellowship and food together.